Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, July 7th, the year of our Lord, 2024, and this is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. It's a joy to welcome you here to the podcast today. I pray your 4th of July celebrations were fun. Those of you down here in the Pensacola area, brace yourself. It's coming up on Blue Angels Week. All the best of summer, the summer tourist season, even with all its busyness and traffic, is a real joy. So we celebrate all of that. And with those kind of things in mind, let's pause and do, as is our custom and practice here on the podcast, let's begin by celebrating what is best, by opening ourselves up to God in a spirit of thanksgiving. Draw a breath and hold it, savor it. Thank God for every breath. It's a gift. It is the gift of life. And as you breathe, call to mind the people, the places, the things, the situations that light you up inside, those things for which you are most grateful. We give thanks to God for all of it, for every good and perfect gift comes from the hand of God. And with this focus, and in this posture, let us begin together in worship. Please join with me in the opening prayer as printed in your digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin just to the left of where you found today's podcast. I believe the title is Sermon Notes. Just under there, you'll see that icon. You can click on it, tap on it, and it will come up for you. Let's begin. Heavenly Father, we come before you in awe of your presence and your word. Grant us the humility to recognize your authority over our lives and the courage to follow you faithfully, even when the path is uncertain. May your spirit empower us to proclaim your kingdom. Pour out your mercy and your compassion on all who are hurting or in despair. Guide us to be instruments of your peace and agents of your love in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Friends, our gospel reading comes from Mark's Gospel, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 13. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Heavenly Father, we call out to you. We pray. We give you thanks for the gift of your word, alive and among us. A word that brings new life. A word that calls us to repentance. Invites us to be healed. A word that goes out into the world with power and love and hope. And so we pray as we take a moment to consider what it is you have to say to your church today. We pray that we could truly hear you, that we could receive you, and that your power will move among us. We pray for your continued grace and forgiveness in our lives. We pray that you will save us, O God, from misinterpretation and distraction, so that we could truly be filled with this, your good word. We pray this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Friends, have you ever had the experience in your life where you meet someone, you were really looking forward to meeting them? Maybe it was a higher up at the company you worked for, or a public figure in your community. Or maybe a celebrity, an artist, a writer, musician, and you had opportunity to meet this person. You didn't know him well, but you've known of them for a long time. You've been an admirer of theirs, and perhaps you've put together in your mind a persona, an image of who you imagine them to be in real life. And then you have occasion to meet them, and what you imagined and who this person really is are two different things. And sometimes that can be a really good thing and be a very pleasant surprise, or very, very disappointing, because our imaginings and the reality of who people are often two very different things. I mention that because I think a little of that is in play here at the beginning, the first half of today's reading. Jesus, as we are introduced to him in Mark's gospel, is a very busy man. The first five chapters of Mark move at this breakneck pace. He just lays out the public ministry of Jesus story by story by story. We open up by meeting John the Baptist, and then Jesus is baptized by John. He's off into the wilderness. Then this public ministry begins. He calls disciples, and we see him time and again cast out unclean spirits. And there's other healings, lots of them. And then there's the preaching, the teaching, the digging into the word, the telling of the law and the prophets and the stories of their faith in a way that only one with authority could preach the way Jesus preached. To the point where the word is out and the crowds are pressing in and his family gets worried about him. And there's the story we looked at a few weeks ago where they're worried he's gone crazy. They're worried for his health and safety, and they just want to take him home and let him settle down for a while and maybe let things cool off. But he reminds them that his family are those who are present with them, being touched by him, hearing him, being inspired by him, having their lives changed by him. And the story continues, and there's more miracles. We hear the story of miraculous healings that we just had in chapter 5. Before that, there is the calming of the storm. All that is to say, there is a lot going on around and through Jesus. And many are speculating that he's the one, he is the Messiah, he is the one that will save Israel. And talk about legend, talk about persona and myth that has built up around an individual. Certainly there could be no greater legend, myth, persona than that of the Savior of the children of Israel. So they have all of that, all of the legend and the scripture and the interpretation that there's one that will come in the line of David and be like David, a mighty, glamorous warrior king. And they find Jesus. The teaching is there. The signs and the wonders and the miracles are there. But where's the army? Where's the pedigree? He is not from the most glamorous zip code in the area. As it is said in another point in the Gospels, Nazareth, what good could come from Nazareth? And so here the hometown boy makes a trip to his hometown and continues to do what he's been doing while he's been out on the road. He comes to his hometown. His disciples come with him. And on the Sabbath, he goes into the synagogue. And he crushes a sermon. And they said, where does he get this? Where does this wisdom come from? And the deeds of power. The deeds of power. But hold up. We know him. Isn't that the guy that repaired my fence a couple years ago? And I know his brothers and his sisters. I mean, this, look, Mary and James and Joseph and Judas and Simon. We know all these people. I've seen them around the market. His sisters are here. This can't be the Messiah. Something stinks here. Messiah doesn't come from a place like ours. Because Messiah comes from among them, because he looks like them, shares their common lot, despite the miracles, despite the teaching, despite all the evidence that points to who he is and why he's come, they can't make themselves vulnerable to the fact that all of these things point to the truth, that he is the one that has come to save the lost children of Israel, and through them, the whole world. They can't open themselves up to it, and their disbelief is like a pall over the community. And it's interesting that because of their inability to accept him and be vulnerable to him, it's almost as if he's powerless. He does a few healings. He anoints and he does what he can, but he realizes that there is a spirit in this place and in the hearts of these people. And until that is lifted, I think my work here is done. And he begins to send his 12 in groups of two. And he says, go with very simple provisions. Take just enough. Take just enough. Because in carrying just enough, don't have any money with you. Don't have any food with you. Just put your sandals on your feet. Take your staff, just your one tunic. Go with just enough to get from here to there. And then you'll seek the hospitality of others. And here's what will happen. It will provoke one of two responses. It will provoke their charity and hospitality, and they will welcome you in. And if they welcome you in, you stay in that house and you receive their hospitality. Don't go looking for better accommodations. They've revealed themselves to be people of good charity. You stay there. Or the other response that it will provoke is, get out, go. I don't know what you're selling, but I don't have time for it. Please, you and your friend here, move on. And take them at their word, move on. But to let them know that they've missed the opportunity and to not carry the residue of their rejection with you, shake the dust of that town off your sandals. And it starts by just carrying just enough. No excess baggage. In thinking about this, I was just reminded from a line from Mary Poppins. Mary, the nanny, comes to take care of these kids, and she helps magically help them clean up their room, and they have so much fun that they want to do it again. And Mary says to them, enough is as good as a feast. And I don't know what Mary Poppins has to do with this, but I know that the wisdom of that line, enough is as good as a feast, is central to the success of these missions that Jesus sends them on. Take just enough. Enough is the seed. Your presence, your good nature, your kindness will evoke the response. And you'll be invited in or you'll be rejected, but if you're invited in, then the feast is on. Take your spot on the cot, on the floor mat, in the corner of the room, or out back. Take your portion of the evening meal, contribute to the well-being of that home. And that's a feast. That is enough for the day, because in that action, the invitation to follow in the way of Christ can be given. The invitation to be healed of that which is unclean can be accepted. And the celebration is on. The feast is present. So on this day, as we come into the heart of the summer season, think we ought to pause for a moment. Think about the legend and the persona and the imaginings that we have about who Jesus is and why he's come. And that if he showed up in your synagogue or your church or your book club, and if he began to do miracles and teach and preach right in front of you, would you be able to see him? Would you be able to accept him? Would his power move through you? Or would you, overwhelmed by the reality that who you imagined him to be and who he is are too different, and that you couldn't make yourself vulnerable to his presence in your life? And having said that too, how, why would he be at your church? Why would he be panhandling on your street corner? Why would he be seeking shelter in your home or at the soup kitchen where you serve? Who is Jesus? Why has he come? That's why we're reading from the Gospel of Mark. That's why we gather here around this podcast. That's why I encourage you always to open the Bible and prayerfully read section by section, preferably with some friends. Ask the questions, invite him there among you, and you will find, word by word, line by line, chapter by chapter, book by book, healing will come to your heart. And you will find that some days you'll get just enough. And that enough will be as good as a feast. And that feast is very good news. To which I say, Amen. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Joseph and Moses and Aaron, God of Samuel and David, God of Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary and Joseph, Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through whom we receive the gift of your Holy Spirit, it is to you, O God, that we pray. And we confess. We have sinned. We have fallen short and fallen away from the path that you have laid out before us. So in this moment, with our hearts and minds focused on you, we pray, lift us up, dust us off, put us back on the path, and give us a nudge toward home, we pray. And we give you thanks for every good and perfect gift that we enjoy, the gifts of life and love and family, the gift of faith, community. Thank you. And there are so many things that occupy our minds, so much that we focus on and worry about and pray over. We pray that you will shine light in the darkness, that you will continue to clean that which is unclean, that you will continue to cast out the demons among us, so that you would be glorified, so that more and more and more of us would learn to walk in your way and stand in your light. We pray for the leaders of the nations. We pray for the influencers, the financiers. We know that there are some among them that know you. If they have been distracted, O God, hold them close. remind them of their mission and your commissioning on their lives. And for those who are very far away, oh God, we pray for them that they would find their way home, that their positions would not be used just for their own gain, but for the good of the world and to your glory. And you know us. You know what's going on in our lives. We keep these lists. Some of us write these lists down. For some of us, we just repeat them over and over in our minds. If they are worries, oh God, help us to convert them to prayers. That is, to turn all of it over to you. And so we'll do just that in this moment. Everything on our prayer list, everything on our lists of joys and concerns, we pause for a moment. We just hand it all to you for you to sort out and to consider. And we make a quiet moment right where we are to be still so that we might feel your presence and hear your voice. We break our silence. And we thank you, O God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. And we thank you for the faithful generations that have come before us and they have saved for us our gospels and our scriptures and our prayers and songs and traditions. Among them, this precious jewel, this prayer that goes by your name. Hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, may we do so in celebration of the gift of enough, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is enough. It is enough to inspire the whole world. And it begins with you, and it begins with me, and begins with courage and strength and hope and peace and love and joy. It comes from God, our God that we know in three persons, who blesses us, bids us peace. Go in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Amen.